I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is July 13th, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay entitled, Welcome to Coalition on Revival. Applying the scriptures to every sphere of life and thought, and promoting the biblical and Christian worldview. Written by Dr. J. Grimstead, Director. J. begins. The Coalition on Revival, or CORE, is a network of evangelical leaders from every major denominational and theological perspective who share a vision for and a commitment to worldwide revival, renewal, and reformation in the church and society that will practically implement the biblical and Christian worldview. J. Question. Why did God allow His creation to sink to a level where a revival would even be necessary? J. Another question. How long after you implement the Christian worldview can we expect to be able to once again purchase slaves? Speaking for myself, I know I'm getting awfully tired of doing my own dishes, and I'm sure many other white men feel the same way. He continues, CORE's basic mission is to encourage and help the universal Church of Jesus Christ obey God's cultural mandate and the Great Commission. CORE's founding director is Dr. J. Grimstead, who also helped found the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy, which wrote the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy and the Chicago Statement on Biblical Hermeneutics. Biblical inerrancy is one of the theological and worldview issues being dealt with by the International Church Council Project. J. Biblical inerrancy? I think the labors of Hercules were child's play compared to the task you have to complete. He only had to kill a bull. You have to figure out a way to keep bullshit alive. He wrote, What is the Coalition on Revival? Jay, I can answer that one. An organization dedicated to the survival of an ancient death cult based on hate and bigotry, whose main weapon is the threat of eternal torture for anyone who refuses to join. Jay, how'd I do? He continues, CORE's vision is to see Christians everywhere doing all they can in the power of the Holy Spirit to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ in every aspect of life and worldview area. Jay, that sounds almost identical to the Muslim creed. They too make it clear that they want to control every aspect of a person's life, from what they can and cannot eat, to whom they can hate and kill, how to dress, how to treat their property, meaning women and slaves, how to wear their hair, what they must believe, upon penalty of eternal torture, to what they can and cannot think. J. Other than the outfits, I'm not seeing a whole lot of difference here. It continues, CORE's mission is to help the church rebuild civilization on the principles of the Bible so God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pre-, A-, and post-millennialists are cooperating with each other, sharing the exciting task of getting God's will done on earth as it is in heaven, insofar as that is possible between now and whenever Christ comes back to earth. J. Christ said he would come back before his apostles died. I think he's a little late. He wrote, CORE's vision is to see Christians everywhere doing all they can in the power of the Holy Spirit to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, which essentially means a biblical Christian worldview. J., how do you propose to convince Muslims of that? The Hindus might not be such an easy sell either. Continuing, the CORE worldview documents state that we believe are the biblical principles for all worldview areas of human life, including theology, evangelism, discipleship, law, civil governments, economics, education, family, medicine, psychology and counseling, arts and media, business and professions, and science and technology. Jay, you pretty much proved my earlier point about wanting to take over every aspect of a person's life. But before you get too smug, you should realize the Muslims have the exact same plan as you. And according to polls, their invisible ghost is rapidly gaining ground on your invisible ghost. Concluding, whenever God's people, His willing, obedient subjects, are obeying Him in every aspect of their lives, there is where the King's kingdom is being brought forth in this world in time and space to implement His biblical worldview. Jay, so is that where we can still find good slaves? Hey, thanks for the heads up, Jay. And now a word from our director, Dr. Jay Grimstead, on a collision course with the forces of evil. Jay writes, at this period of church history, the body of Christ worldwide is again engaged in a deadly collision course with the forces of evil. Jay, you are omitting the possibility that you guys are the forces of evil. Your long, bloody 2,000-year history of slavery, genocide, torture, and hate would count as pretty convincing evidence that Christianity may be the worst insanity to ever afflict the human race. He wrote, it is becoming increasingly clear that each nation on this planet is being presented with an either-or choice wherein there is no neutral middle ground, no demilitarized zone, no fence setting. In each nation, one side or the other must win and become the dominant force in society. We in the core orbit believe that the overriding issue underlying all present battles in politics, law, economics, education, communications, ethics, religion, and family life is this foundational question, which is, which law base will govern the nations of the world, a biblical one or an anti-biblical one? Jay, our founding fathers already decided that one a long time ago. And you lost. He wrote, those are our only two options, and those Christian leaders and followers who hope against hope that there is some neutral ground between those two options, where it is philosophically and politically safe to hide, are living in a naive fairy tale world of wishful thinking. Jay, a fairy tale world of wishful thinking? Really? You don't see it, do you, Jay? Why don't you tell us again about the talking snake and the guy who lived inside a fish for 3 days? Tell us again about the sun stopping in the sky for 24 hours. Tell us about the worldwide flood that left less evidence than a fossilized rabbit head. Tell us about the unemployed carpenter who ran laps across the lake, or the guy who split a river in half with a magic stick. Fairy tale world, Jay? Really? He continues, this either-or situation developed because the Christian civilization of the last several hundred years built upon a complete system of truth with comprehensive answers to life's problems. Jay, let me interrupt. Answers to which problems? I don't remember a single thing in the Bible that referred to anything that existed after the first century. Did I miss a chapter? Continuing, Jay was stating, this either-or situation developed because the Christian civilization of the last several hundred years has, by its default, allowed an alternate alien thought system to become dominant and to control most of the centers of power, such as the governments, the courts, the media, the educational system, and the economic powers. Jay, I don't see any evidence that Christianity allowed an alternate thought system. They did everything in their power, including executions, to prevent it. The alternate thought system is supplanting yours because it is based on reality and therefore far superior to the one you believe, which is based on fairy tales. Jay said, thus, as Francis Schaeffer kept reminding us, one complete systematic, secular, relativistic worldview is now fighting for the allegiance of all hearts against another complete systematic Christian biblical worldview, and only one of them will dominate the future in each nation. Jay, that's really bad news for you. Statistics from all over the world verify that Christianity is crashing. Secularism is rising faster than any religion. Hell, even Islam is kicking your ass. They are projected to surpass Christianity by the end of this century. But have no fear. Converting to another system of hate and discrimination involves little change for Christians. But you will be expected to grow a beard. He wrote, informed Christians also know that only the Christian worldview offers humanity the justice, peace, protection of human dignity, and promotion of order and prosperity which all humans hunger to have and which God desires to give them. Jay, if Christianity offers humanity all the things you listed, why, for the last 2,000 years, has it given humanity the exact opposite? He wrote, the alternate secular worldview has no other option but to end in tyranny, deception, injustice, death for millions, poverty, and destruction, as this century's history has proven over and over. Jay, exactly what 20th century history are you claiming supports your assertion? He wrote, it is our conviction that even now, only a fraction of the members of the body of Christ on earth are capable of fulfilling the Great Commission, waging biblical warfare, or fulfilling their personal destinies in the body of Christ. It is our estimate that only about 10% of believers and a small minority of Christian leaders clearly understand the issues before us, or have the courage to lose their lives, reputation, or security for Christ's cause. Jay, why is it that for you Christian nationalist types, war and death are always the answer? Never mind, Jay. After reading your Bible, it's pretty clear where that kind of thinking came from. He wrote, few are capable of joining organically and productively into a united local army of Christ, composed of congregational platoons. Thus, it is our opinion that the body of Christ is a long way in every nation, region, or city from being able to unite and mobilize itself as the Allied armies did in World War II, and create a spiritual, theological D-Day to attack the forces of evil and advance the kingdom of God on earth, biblically and efficiently. Jay, the Muslims may have something to say about that, and the Hindus, and the Buddhists, and the non-believers, and the, you get the picture. World domination may not be as easy as you seem to think it will be, even with the aid of an all-powerful, invisible ghost. Jay wrote, we believe our present generation of Christians worldwide is as weak as it is because it inherited from its fathers of the past five generations, sincere as they were, an inferior, less than biblical Christianity. Jay, not only that, but look at what you've lost. One, slavery. Two, women are now speaking in church and voting. Three, evolution is now being taught in science class while it is illegal to teach your fairy tales. Four, public displays of religion are being stopped by a judiciary which is finally enforcing the First Amendment. Jay, it sounds to me like Armageddon may have already arrived for you folks. He wrote, each generation since 1830 passed on to the next generation what it thought was quality biblical Christianity, just as most pastors, leaders, and followers today think they are passing on to their children and students A-plus, top-quality, biblical Christianity. But that is not the case. Jay, that's pretty hard to do when you've got hundreds of different Christian denominations passing on all manner of biblical interpretations. He said, the truly biblical, courageous, clear-thinking, socially productive kind of Christianity which grew out of the Reformation, the kind developed and marvelously modeled by our Puritan and Pilgrim fathers, began steadily to deteriorate and stagnate from about 1830 on. Really, Jay, you think the Puritans and Pilgrims were good Christian role models? I would sure like to see the history books you've been reading. To make a statement like that, my guess is you haven't read any of them. He said, today's generic Christianity is substandard biblically, and we suspect would embarrass the Apostle Paul, Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Wesley, Livingston, Spurgeon, or Warfield. Jesus Christ, this guy writes in lists. Jay, how sad that you can't even see that that was a compliment to today's Christians, not an insult. Your lists contain nothing but total losers and morally bankrupt men. He wrote, since 1830, the following 10 characteristics permeated and finally dominated almost every Christian church, denomination, school, and organization on the planet. Even though most of them still believed in the Bible and Orthodox Christianity and still loved Jesus personally in all sincerity. Jay, I deleted your 10 characteristics because they were so lame, my audience would all be sound asleep before we were even halfway through them. He continues, we have reached another turning point in history. A new Reformation is being born. This is good news indeed. Jay, I agree. The secular Reformation, which is taking the world by storm, can only mean greatly improved living conditions for the majority of humanity. The fall of Christianity, which is currently in full swing through most of the civilized world, and then the taming of Islam will usher in a modern Garden of Eden, without the invisible, bad-tempered monster. Jay wrote, while most Christian leaders over 45 seem to have made an unconscious commitment to the status quo and to peace at any price, the new crop of leaders in their 30s and early 40s stepping onto the battlefield are ready to fight the good fight until the end. And coming behind them is a magnificent core of bright, courageous, well-trained men and women in their 20s who probably have Satan and his demons quaking in their boots. Jay, it is so cute when you talk about your imaginary little fairy world, the way rational people talk about the real world. He wrote, add to that the coming generation of beautiful, bright-eyed children and teens from the Christian school and homeschool movements who seem quite eager for meaningful lives and meaningful battle. Jay, bad news, dude. The age group you just mentioned is the largest secular group in American history, about 30%, which is about double the percentage in the general population. So the future isn't looking quite as rosy as you seem to think it is. He wrote, we older warriors get pumped full of adrenaline just thinking about the possibilities of future world changing. Jay, back to reality. Islam is slaughtering you, and secularism is coming up on both of you. You're right about the world changing, but Christianity will be lucky if it still outranks Scientology in a few years. Let's face it, Christians have Rick Warren and you. Scientologists have John Travolta and Tom Cruise. You do the math. Jay wrote, one goal of CORE is to help unite 10% of the body of Christ as a Gideon's army, as well as to awaken, unify, and mobilize the other 90%. In each nation thus awakened, Christians could advance the kingdom of God on earth, and indeed work together to make it a better world and take it as far as we possibly can prior to Jesus' return. Jay, I don't see the world returning to slavery, animal and human sacrifice, and indiscriminate genocide. Call me short-sighted, but all evidence points to a better future, one in which ghost-worshipping will be shunned as ancient, barbaric, and ignorant. He wrote, "We are deeply committed to the visible, practical unity of the body of Christ in every nation and in every local city or region, and we hope to help that dream become a reality." Global conquest has been a common theme throughout history. The Muslims are currently attempting the same world takeover as you are. My guess, or at least my hope, is that both death cults disappear from the face of the earth and are only remembered as scourges that existed during a horrible period that humans went through before finally achieving a modern civilized society. He wrote, "We are optimistic that Christians can reform their own nations within two generations if they have the courage to die for the cause of the kingdom of God and to walk in deep humility, holiness, and wisdom." J, die for? Explain to me again the difference between you and radical Muslims, because I'm not seeing any. J concludes, "We are to make Bible-obeying disciples of anyone that gets in our way." Well, Jay, I'm in your way. Who are you going to send? Abortion bombers? Crusaders? Christian soldiers? Jay, you are sicker than a rabid dog. But unlike the dog, not worth saving. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, From Ocean to Land: The Fishy Origin of Our Hips. New research has revealed that the evolution of the complex weight-bearing hips of walking animals from the basic hips of fish was a much simpler process than previously thought. Tetrapods, or four-legged animals, first stepped onto land about 395 million years ago. This significant change was made possible by strong hip bones and a connection through the spine via an ilium, features that were not present in the fish ancestors of tetrapods. Researchers found the differences between us and them are not as great as they appear. Most of the key elements necessary for the transformation to human hips were actually already present in our fish ancestors. Scientists compared the hip development, bones, and musculature of the Australian lungfish and the axolotl, commonly known as the Mexican walking fish. The results showed that, surprisingly, the transition from simple fish hip to complex weight-bearing hip could be done in a few evolutionary steps. Many of the muscles thought to be new in tetrapods evolved from muscles already present in lungfish. Researchers also found evidence of a new, more simple path by which skeletal structures could have evolved. They found that the sitting bones would have evolved by the extension of the already existing pubis. The connection to the vertebral column could have evolved from an iliac process already present in fish. The transition from ocean-dwelling to land-dwelling animals was a major event in the evolution of terrestrial animals, including humans, and an altered hip was an essential enabling step. What initially appeared to be a large change in morphology could be done with relatively few developmental steps. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Thomas H. Huxley. "I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted." Here is the quote from Thomas Huxley. "Skepticism is the highest duty, and blind faith the one unpardonable sin."
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.